I'm sure you all are hoping to hear an amazing sermon about exorcism. I'm sorry, that is not my expertise, so we're going to go a different path today. In my sending parish, there was a woman who always sat in the back pew. She was quiet, always left just before the final hymn, and never stayed for our coffee hour. Now, my sending parish was the community that sponsored me for seminary and raised me up for my call to ordained ministry. They had a very active sharing of the peace. It was a very intentional space, and everyone was very much included. And they made sure they looked at each other in the eye and said, "Peace be with you." And it was really hard to recenter everybody to move on with the service. It was the reason our services lasted as long as they did. And so I remember this woman being very polite, sharing the peace, but also reserved during this time, but she still participated. Now, I normally served as a Eucharistic minister or in some role during the service, so I could really only observe the people, and I rarely got a chance to speak with folks until after the service or if they came to an educational offering that I participated in or ran. So one Sunday, I wasn't serving or doing anything, so I got to experience church, and I was able to sit in my favorite spot, the back pew. I asked this mysterious woman that I had been observing for many Sundays if it was okay if I sat next to her. It was her pew, after all. For those of us that sit in the same place in church, we know what that means. And so she very quietly, of course, said, "Yes, of course you can," and told me that her name was Ethel. I shared my name as well, not assuming that she knew who I was. And as often happens, we began chatting, and she told me all about her grandkids and that she had just started coming back to church after losing her sister, who was the reason that she had come to church in the first place. She introduced her to that church. She said it just felt lonely without her, but she was hoping by coming, she would be able to connect with people and maybe feel closer to her sister by better understanding what it was that had brought her sister there in the first place. And so in today's gospel, we find Jesus paying attention to a sick man that those in the synagogue weren't paying much attention to at all until Jesus' arrival. That man was possessed by unclean spirits, after all. The important thing here is Jesus is speaking the name of the unclean spirits. And so by doing so, he claims authority over them. In Jesus' time, the person who speaks one's name has the authority in that conversation. It's kind of the old world version of name it and claim it. This gospel is asking us to not look away and to speak the names of those unclean spirits we have in our society today. Things like racism, homophobia, sexism, transphobia, classism, xenophobia, you name it, it's a phobia, an ism, all of those things. And all of those things that keep us from truly seeing each other and the God and Christ in one another. Not only must we name these things, but we're also being asked to find the roots of the issues and actively work against them. This passage challenges us to find ourselves in it. What are the unclean spirits in our own communities and the lives that we need to name? What could it mean for us to name these things and find ways to see each other's suffering and name the root of it? To truly listen to each other so that we can better name the things that might be harming our community. The pop-up work that the Discovery Team has been engaging the community in is an example of this. Just one. We have many. We've been working on listening deeply, sharing boldly, and praying with those who stop by our tent or table, depending on where we are. As we begin to understand how we use our own stories to understand the stories of others, we begin to understand who we are as a community in different ways. We start to see how to connect to our neighbor, and we find that which we must name. Then from there, we can begin to heal. We begin to see the needs of our community just a little differently, and it becomes more personal. It becomes less about those people over there and more about our people in here. Our people, the ones we know and love. So when I began to see Ethel and hear her needs as a part of our community, she opened my eyes to new needs and helped me to see my own judgments and areas of growth, for which I remain grateful to this day. As I spoke to her and heard more of her story, learning about her sister and the community that they had built at the church, I could see why Ethel wanted to find her way back. I understood why she would quietly sit in the back and, I'm sure, silently talk to God and her sister as she pondered what might be next for her. My time listening to Ethel's story and the stories of so many who have stopped by our tent and tables remind me of the importance of stopping to really listening and see those who cross our paths, to offer a kind smile and listening ear to affirm their dignity and their full humanity, to speak their names. This kindness remains something I hear as a call from our text today, looking for those who remain the quiet ones in the corner or on the margins, the unnoticed. That's what I think our text is calling us to in our everyday lives. As many of you know, and some of you have experienced, the prayer pop-up that the Discovery Team continues to offer next to the Abundance Shop, sometimes at community events, is just one example of how we as a community can respond to this call, along with our Laundry Love and our Feeding People at Prado and other places at community meals. So I strongly encourage all of you to continue to engage better with all of those ministries and to connect with our community outside the walls of the church, because that's where we're called to be and called to do, and the things that we do also in our daily lives. So while this text is calling us to action, it also serves as a reminder for us to call attention to the injustices in the world, to identify them and call out their names, so that the evils done on our behalf can no longer stand unnamed. Too often we stay silent when faced with the difficult decision to speak up and act. Naming those things which challenge our society only serves to bring them to light. So my prayer this week is that we may be more aware of those on the margins and in the corners. That God help us each to use the light within us to illuminate and name those things that would keep us from God and each other, doing what we can to help heal the world around us. Amen.